Welcome to our class on Jesus and Integrity. My name is Matthew Hose. This is Cynthia Davis. And like I said, we're going to share with you guys a little bit about integrity, more importantly, how we follow Jesus' example. And then we're going to share from some of our own personal examples. But actually, before I do that, I want to go ahead and pray for us. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you so much that you've entrusted us with opportunities to grow in integrity, to grow to be more like your son, Jesus. I thank you for the hearts here that have been able to make it out and just be able to come to learn, to grow, God. We pray that you'll speak through Cynthia and I. Let it be more importantly your spirit speaking through us to be able to encourage those that have come to hear. Soften the hearts, open the hearts, God, and I pray that you'll help us and help those that are listening to receive the message, God. We pray that you'll just work through us, and we ask this through Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So to kind of give you guys a little bit of a introduction, like I said, my name is Matthew Hose. I hail from Dallas-Fort Worth area. I've been a disciple for now a little over 17 years. Yes, I got baptized when I was 10. But just kidding with you guys. So I've been there in that area for about 11 years, and currently right now I work as a server or waiter in a high-end steakhouse at a big resort called the Gaylord Texan. And I share that with you a little bit because if you guys have ever worked in the restaurant industry, you'll know that integrity is pretty hard to uphold. And so hopefully through a little bit of sharing a little bit later, you'll kind of get the idea how hard it is, but what God can do if you're intentionally working on it. But before I continue to go on, I'm going to give Cynthia a chance to kind of introduce herself a little bit.
Hi, everyone. Like Matthew said, my name is Cynthia Davis. I am from the Potomac Valley Church of Christ. I'm originally from Baltimore, but I moved to POVA like 2 months ago, actually, for a theater job in D.C. But while I was in Baltimore, I pursued a degree in theater while also working full-time in the ministry. And those things were seemingly very contradictory. How do you have a job in ministry while also working in an industry that pushes the boundaries on every controversial topic you could imagine? Amen. I've had directors add orgy scenes to shows. I've had professors denounce God in my classes. So integrity was something that I had to fight really, really hard to have as I pursued my passion, and even now as I continue to work both in ministry and in the theater industry. So that's something that we're going to be sharing about today is how do you live in a world that rejects your standard completely and continue to be a person of integrity?
So we're talking about integrity today. Integrity is not one of those most exciting character qualities that we necessarily just run after, per se, but I would dare say it's probably one of the most impactful for your relationships with one another and your ability to affect others positively for Christ. It just breeds a bunch of respect and attention of others. Matthew 22:16 says, they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Jesus had a reputation of integrity, but could that be said of you? You know, it was pretty clear to others from a long distance what Jesus was about. And we have a lot of, you know, there's a lot of examples you can follow from Jesus in regards to integrity that we can draw from, but we're just going to share a few from those today and some of our own personal examples. But before I do that, I want to start off with a definition of integrity. So it's the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, a moral uprightness, the state of being whole and undivided, a constant consciousness of God that causes you to be whole and undivided. I believe it takes one to be whole in their faith and undivided in their devotion to God to really live out integrity, a consciousness of God that affects one's actions and motives. And I don't know about you, but if I'm not seeking to be conscious of God at all times, I'm probably seeking to be more like the world. Jesus was able to achieve integrity because he was always conscious of God, not people. As in Matthew 22:16 stated earlier, he wasn't swayed by others, and he paid no attention to who they were. Which leads me to my point number one. Integrity. Integrity is achieved through seeking to please only one. John 5:30 says, "By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." One of the greatest enemies of integrity is seeking to please ourselves or others out of fear. Have you guys ever struggled with people pleasing? It's probably been one of my biggest struggles as a disciple, you know. We can get so easily pulled into compromising around others just to curry their attention that we miss the opportunity to stand for what we believe in, our morals. Even at work, I can so easily get pulled into gossip or slander at work, but I have to make a decision that moment. And when I do, actually, if I do get pulled into it, I just pull myself off to the side and apologize to them, even if they don't understand why I'm apologizing.
Right.
And what I might do, actually, is sometimes I take up courage. I take courage to speak up for the individuals that we're talking about, to kind of promote something encouraging to talk about them. Or I just completely remove myself from the situation. And I don't know if you guys have ever complained at work. Yeah, it's hard to get around it, yeah. But even that, God doesn't even desire us to do that. He desires to stand out, to be like Jesus. And even when I complain, if there is some complaints, it's most of the time I feel like I'm being overlooked, which I'm sure you guys can relate with. You just own it. Jesus desires us to live without fear in our integrity with one another so we can walk confidently. Proverbs 29:25 says, "Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." John 5:44 says, "No wonder you can't believe, for you gladly honor each other, but you don't care about the honor that comes from the one who alone is God." When we're focusing on God, he gives us more courage to stand up for what we need to stand up for in our workplace. But when the glory of man and their approval becomes more important than God's glory, upholding integrity is hard to achieve. John 7:16 through 18, it says, "So Jesus told them, 'My message is not my own. It comes from God who sent me. Anyone who wants to do the will of God will know whether my teaching is from God or is merely my own. Those who speak for themselves want glory only for themselves. But a person who seeks to honor the one who sent him speaks truth, not lies.'" I don't know if you guys, but I've been tempted to lie. I have lied at times, you know. But again, I have to go back, own it, before my coworkers, if that opportunity arises, and I just, you know, again, I'll apologize. So, but when we live like Jesus, we can have a clear conscience. So I'll share this story real briefly with you. So I don't know if you guys have ever struggled with clocking in late for work. So, you know, if you're not disciplined, you'll run behind. And so there was a day that I was running behind from work, and I was rushing to get in, and I didn't want to hit that little window where they considered you late. So I ran in, clocked in real quick, and then I went, and at this time I wasn't actually dressed for work. So then I went, hurried up, got dressed, and then went back into work. And so I'm doing my thing. And then sure enough, God's like, "I saw you. I saw what you did." And later that day in our pre-shift, our manager said, he called out, he was saying to people, "Hey, I got to bring this to your attention. People are taking advantage of the system. They're clocking in early with not being dressed. And they're riding the clock." And I was sitting there and listening to him, and I was like, "Oh, that's me." You know, and so I had to make a decision that day. Am I going to be open about this, or am I just going to hide it? But sure enough, I prayed about it. I went and talked to my manager. I told her, I was like, "Remember what the other manager was talking about? Yeah, that was me." She stopped and kind of looked at me, and she laughed. And she said, "You don't have to worry about it, Matthew. I know who you are. I know what you do." And when we're living to be like Jesus, it's like Proverbs 2:8 says, "He guards the path of the just and protects those who are faithful to him."
So I love Matthew's point that the way we achieve integrity is by having an audience of one. That wherever we go and whomever we're with, that the only eyes that matter are God's eyes. Who are you when no one else is looking? How's your purity? How are your quiet times? These are the things that define our integrity. Who we are when no one else is around, when it's just you and God's eyes. Are you always seeking to please him? This was something I really struggled with in my theater department, because theater was my dream. I love to sing. I don't know if you guys saw, but I was singing today, being crazy. I love to sing. I love to perform. I love to act. I want to do voiceover. I want to be on Broadway. Like, this is my dream. So I finally get into a theater program. I'm excited. But I know that as a Christian, there are certain things I can't be a part of because of their content. And so the first, like, couple of weeks, I went to my department head and I said, hey, there are certain roles I don't want to be considered for. Like, I just can't do them because of my convictions. And I thought, because I was holding to my integrity, that God was going to bless me. Everything was going to work out great. I was going to have all the roles I wanted. That is not what happened. Sadly, and really heartbreakingly, my department head looked me in my face and said, you don't belong in this program. And then she took it a step further. She said, if I had known about your religious beliefs before, I would have told you not to apply here. And I left that conversation shook. I was so broken. This was everything that I had dreamt of. Like, I fought tooth and nail to be here. And I left her office and I broke down in tears. I was like, God, how could you? Like, I did what you told me to do. Like, I was a person of integrity. You were supposed to make things work. And then I had to make a choice. Was God still going to be who I fought to please? Or was it going to be about me? Integrity brings you face to face with who you really are. Your desires, your sin, your weakness, your hurt, your past, your dreams. And then you have to decide whether you're going to seek to please something else or whether God's going to be the deciding factor in your life. So I chose that God was going to be the deciding factor in my life. I didn't get all the roles that I wanted, not initially, but afterwards, I gained the respect and the trust of my department. And by the end, when I left that program, everyone, faculty and students, knew about my convictions. And I still have professors emailing me to this day asking me to work with them because they were so impacted by my work.
So this leads me to my second point. Living out integrity exposes others' lack of integrity. Like Cynthia was saying, when we hold to it, you know, it's gonna judge your own heart, but it also judges the hearts of those around you. As this passage says in Matthew 5:13-16, he says, you are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. I don't know if you guys have ever been confronted with a brother or sister that just kind of just calls you out. They've kind of watched you. You've been kind of hiding. And you don't like it at first. You probably actually try to avoid them for a while. But then later on, you realize, okay, this is God using them to be able to expose me, and it's for our good. And that's what integrity does. It exposes the good and bad in our character, even our hearts, but it allows others to be, like I said, exposed as well. In the same way, integrity needs to be seen so that others can know the way. Far too many times we're exposed to the opposite of integrity in the world around us that it becomes a surprise for others to be exposed to it, like it catches people off guard. That you actually stand for the right thing. That one is actually above reproach. You know, so working in a restaurant, we have the luxury of, like, when there's six or more, we put a gratuity into the check. It normally doesn't work out that way. And so I work at a high-end steakhouse. These checks get really big, so your gratuity can actually be really big. But I don't know about you guys, but these people don't always read. A lot of times don't read their receipts. And so I'll mark the receipt showing that the gratuity is included. So I'll get the check, I'll look at it, and I'll realize, oh, they gave me some money on top. Oh, that's a large amount of money they put on top. And so then even at that moment, I have to make a decision, did they even pay attention? You know, and sometimes we think, well, why would I want to go and tell them? This is not my favorite. So you're counting the cost, but then you're like, you know what? What would I have someone else do to me? You know, and so this one time, I realized, oh, this guy didn't notice. And so I ran, literally left the restaurant, and looked at all these, there's like four restaurants inside this hotel. So I'm running around looking for him. I finally find him in a sports bar, and I stop him. I said, hey, sir, this gratuity is actually already in the check. And he stops and looks at me really funny. And he said, that was like 20 minutes ago. He said, you're telling me you came all the way over here just to tell me that the gratuity was included. And he used some more colorful language than that. And then there was a guy next to him, and he looks over him. He says, do you believe this? And then he said, and then he used some more colorful language. And he said, just for that, you can keep it. Wow. And he left me $200 extra. Maybe it pays to have integrity. But, you know, and I've had many opportunities like that before, you know, where people, I'll go tell people that and they'll do it. But, you know, and that's just, you know, people are surprised. They don't believe that people want to stand up for things.
Right.
Reality is, do others know your faith or is it hidden? Our integrity exposes our faith.
So we're going to be looking at a passage in Mark 2, verses 15 through 17. But before I get to that, like Matthew said, there are consequences for our integrity. And sometimes the fruit of integrity can be really, really scary. Because like I said before, it's going to expose who you are, but it's also going to expose the people around you. As you walk with integrity, the truth is, you're going to mess up. In case you didn't know, you're human, and though God looks at you as perfect, you're going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
And then as you make those mistakes, you're going to have to decide whether you're going to keep fighting for integrity or whether you're going to quit. And then as you do that and you decide to walk with integrity, people around you are going to see it. Your coworkers are going to see it. Your family, other disciples are going to see it. And they're going to be convicted because they've either been walking with integrity or not. But we can't be afraid of calling them out with the way that we live. How do you feel when other disciples are gossiping? Do you stand up for what's right in that situation? When there's sin in your ministry, when there's sin in your household, how do you handle that? Are you a person of integrity always? Let's look at this passage in Mark 2. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples. For there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." What I love about this passage is that integrity will bring the right people to you. Integrity brought hope to this group of people. Jesus walked with a life that showed people there was a different way to live. That's what our integrity does. It brings truth to the world. But it did push away other people. The Pharisees hated Jesus because of his integrity, because it showed them that they weren't living the way that God had called them to, and they didn't like that. But we can't be afraid of the consequences of our integrity. We still have to decide that no matter the outcome, we're still going to make the choice to walk like Jesus did. Now, this for me was really tested this past year. This past year, one of my best friends, who is not a Christian, not a disciple, she came up to me and told me that she was pregnant and that she was going to have an abortion. And she dropped that on me in two sentences or less, like it was just a normal conversation. And I was so brokenhearted. I actually didn't want to know this information. I now felt responsible for whatever choice she made. Have you ever been put in a situation like that? Where like you found out someone was cheating on someone else or your boss was stealing money. You're like, what do I do with this now? It's like, oh my gosh. And so I was so scared. I did not know how to show her God's love in this moment. How do you be a person of integrity when other people want nothing to do with the standard you have? I knew what God taught, and I knew the truth, but I could also see how hard this was for her. And I didn't want to push her away by coming across self-righteous. And so I was just so scared that I was like, okay, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to wash my hands of this. This decision is on her. Whatever she does, she got herself into it. This, I'm out. But I knew that wasn't right. I knew that wasn't loving her the way God had called me to. And so I got some advice, and the person told me, Cynthia, you've been put in this girl's life for a reason.
Yeah.
You've been put in your coworkers' lives for a reason. You've been put in the families that you're in for a reason. God is obviously trying to speak to this girl through you. It's not an accident that she came to you with this information.
Yeah. Right.
And so I did what I always do. I cried. And then I prayed. And I was like, okay, I have to talk to her. And so I decided I wasn't going to, after praying, I wasn't going to sway her either way, but I was going to be honest with her about her life. And I told her, you can't keep living the way that you're living. There are consequences for your actions, and you're acting like it's okay. And whatever choice you're about to make is going to change your life forever. And you need to make it carefully. And she burst out into tears. She said everyone else she talked to, every other friend she had gone to, acted like this was a normal thing, and she knew that it wasn't. And she was longing for someone to be real with her and to be honest with her. That's so funny. Nobody clapped when I rehearsed this. So afterwards, amazingly, even though she's not a Christian, we started praying together about what she was going through and about the decision she was going to make. And one of the nights we were praying together, she told me, this was something I couldn't even tell my mom. I never thought it was something I could bring to God. Never. And so in the end, sadly, she still decided to get the abortion. Despite all that, she still decided to get it. And like I said, it changed her life forever. And we had to deal with those consequences together. But guys, this is the world that we live in, where sin is normal, where it's accepted, where people either don't want to face the truth of it or are too scared to stand up for what's right. And it takes integrity to really love the people and the lost around us. And if you don't have integrity, you can't give people the hope that God provides. Jesus changed people because they saw that there was something else out there, that they didn't have to keep living their lives of sin. But if we're too cowardly to be people of integrity, we will not give them the hope that they need to know who God is.
Yeah, those are pretty encouraging stories, pretty intense stories. And you know, if you're reading through scriptures, you know, Jesus created a lot of intense situations, you know. And he gives us plenty of examples of how we're going to respond. Which leads me to my third point, our last point, is that integrity is intentional, not accidental. Colossians 3:22-25 reads, slaves, which is all of us, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Which, you got to love God because he doesn't keep those consequences away from us if we're not willing to stand up and live out and do the right thing. But when we do it, you know, God, again, as I said earlier, he desires to protect us. But integrity is one of those things that can't be hidden. Because it clearly stands contradictory to most of the world around us. But you have to really work at it. You have to really build a strong foundation in your faith to know when that moment arises, what are you going to stand on? So when I first started in a restaurant, I had no restaurant experience at all. This female trainer was just showing me around. And I got to just kind of share with her a little bit about who I was and what I'm about. And then over time, we would be in the back. And people would be talking. And again, like in a restaurant environment, they'll talk about all kinds of stuff. And when you're coming in as a disciple, you're like kind of sheltered until you get into the world. And you're like, whoa, everyone's like really touchy. Everyone's sharing everything. You're like, okay. But she kind of already knew where I was. So whenever people, when she was back there with me and other people were talking, she would go out of her way and say, Matthew, put your earmuffs on. You know, and I think that was honestly God working on her heart. And he'll do that when you're just being faithful to what you're called to do. Yeah. On another case, I had another coworker in that same restaurant when I was back there. You know, sometimes people think that you're not around, but you're there, and then they notice you, and they're like, and so he apologized. He was starting to curse around me, and then he apologized, and he looked at me, and he said, "I feel worse cursing around you than I do my own children." Wow. I honestly didn't know whether I should be encouraged or disturbed by that. But you know, like, that's what integrity does. It exposes people. But you have to be intentional about living for it. But, you know, many a day I have to go into work and pray just so I'm focused correctly on God. Because it's easy to get caught up in my previous day and worries and stuff like that, or be intentional about where I'm at. Like Cynthia said, we're not arbitrarily just kind of like shuffled and thrown somewhere. God specifically puts us in our workplace for a reason.
Yeah.
So that we can be witnesses for them. So we can be witnesses of the truth and what a disciple actually looks like. You know, in a workplace, I do, like, you know, it's a long, hard day and people just want to get out of there and they don't want to finish their work. But because I've committed to doing it, I'm one of the last ones to leave. Right. And I don't mind them walking past me and they're like, "Matt, you can stop doing this." You know, but I'm like, no, I got to finish my work, you know. I'm probably one of the few servers that actually report their cash tips, which is not common. You know, most people are like, "No, you don't have to do that." I'm like, "Yes, I do. They've already told me I had to do it." But the temptation is real just to cut corners, man. And, but when you pray about it and you pray through it, you know, God will give you the way to do it. But yeah, when you choose to live integrity, it's hard. But again, God provides us with what we need. Yeah. Again, standing out, like, I really appreciate how God is using me in a restaurant, because even my manager would correct himself around me and apologize to me. And on one case, he said, "If there's anybody I can trust in this restaurant that's going to be honest and not lie, it's going to be you." And so his superlative award at the end of the year was, "One who comes into work, does his job, and doesn't complain." And so, you know, I think that's God just working and using people. And they're going to remember that, whether I stay there or not. They're going to remember these things. And when you're intentional, and I try to be really intentional about sharing my faith. I'm at a place now where I don't even ask permission anymore. And most people tell me they're Christians, so I'm like, "Okay, I'm going to treat you like a Christian." And so what I do is I share my quiet times. I share my scriptures with them. I pray with them. And then some of them tell me, after I share scripture, "I feel like the worst human being now." And, you know, that's part of God working. I had one coworker tell me, and again, about being intentional, because he's watching me. So if I share scripture, he's going to know if I'm hypocritical or not.
Right.
But it gives me an opportunity to stand up for scripture when I'm living out the life before. I sent scripture to this coworker. He tells me he's Christian. And I sent these scriptures to him, and he looks at me and goes, "You know I'm a Christian, right?" And I was like, "You know these scriptures are written to Christians, don't you?" And he was like, "Okay, touche, okay."
Guys, I'm going to be real with you. Integrity is really hard. It is very hard, but it's a choice. It's a choice to be someone of integrity. When I was faced with that situation, it brought me face to face with my sin, that I am a coward. And I run away from everything challenging and difficult in my life. And so I had a choice to be someone of integrity and to face my fears and to trust in God, or I could run away and not do what he called me to do. When I was in my theater program, I had a choice. Was God going to be who I fought to please, or was I going to please myself and compromise and cut corners in my life because I knew what I wanted? I wasn't going to trust his standard enough that I did not need to cut corners in my life. Integrity is a choice. But practically, how do we make that choice in our day-to-day situations? It looks different in each situation. Each situation kind of has its own thing. But here are some guidelines that we'd like to give you, questions that you can ask yourself each time to see if you're walking with integrity and whether you're making choices that fit the Bible standard. So the first one is, God has to be number one. You have one master. Who are you trying to please? If you're not trying to please God, then why are you making this choice? The second one is, have you brought this to God? You have the Holy Spirit. You have the opportunity to present your request to God and have him answer back. Have you brought this to God and asked him what he feels about this? Three, do you stand out in this situation? As a Christian, as soon as you said Jesus is Lord, you said you were going to stop being like the world. Do you stand out? Are you trying to look like everyone else? The fourth one is, are you hiding this? Would you talk about this with other disciples? Have you gotten advice about this? If you're hiding this, it's probably not a decision of integrity. If you're not being honest or open about it, you are not walking with integrity. I can promise you that because I've been there. And the last one is, can other people imitate or follow you? Would you want other disciples doing this? Would you want your little brothers and sisters and nephews doing this? Jesus was someone we could follow at all times. We could imitate what he was doing. If this is not imitatable, then you probably shouldn't be doing it.
First Peter 2:12 says, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they'll give honor to God when he judges the world. This is our hope and goal. 2 Corinthians 1:12. Now this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, with integrity and godly sincerity. We have done so relying not on worldly wisdom, but on God's grace. It's God's grace that allows us to live out integrity without fear and letting God's grace be able to expose and encourage other people. We're not going to be perfect at it. It's a work in progress, you know. As you continue to be open, God can work with that. When you're not and you're hiding it, he can't, you know, he's not going to do anything with that. He's not going to work with that. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. So as I was saying earlier, I make it a practice to kind of just share my faith at work. I try to put myself, I want people to see. And one way is when you're living for integrity, you put yourself to be accountable. Because you need to leave more room for people to be able to see it and have to make a decision in their own life. You may not see the fruit right away, or you may. So I've been fortunate. So I've worked in a grocery store for like 12 years, and I worked in a restaurant now for 5.5 years. And to God's glory, and honestly just him working through, honestly the grace of working through and seeing other people's character, and building off of that while I'm growing in my own faith. At the grocery store I worked at, my brother and I, we got to see 3 of our coworkers become disciples. And now at the hotel and the restaurant, the couple of restaurants that I've worked at, I've got to see 3 more people become disciples. I think if we're not being intentional, it won't happen. You know, that's what we're about. We're about being different. We're about standing out. We're about enduring the uncomfortable, even of integrity. So Jesus was a man of integrity, and he led the way because he was seeking only to please one and have integrity whomever he was with. He was fully aware that his integrity would expose others' lack of integrity, no matter the outcome. And lastly, he was intentional, not accidental, because he knew it was for the glory of God, and he was a man of truth. May we be men and women of integrity. Thank you guys for letting us share.